Begin the new Seder Kachim, which deals primarily with the halachas relating to those things that are sanctified, to the items that are in the Beis HaMikdash, the Karbanis, and so on. And we begin the first Masechta, Masechta Zvachim, which literally means to say the Masechta of those things which are slaughtered, referring to the Karbanis primarily that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash. We begin the first parak, Kol HaZvachim, which primarily talks about things that can go wrong in regards to the idea of Shaloi Lishma, which, as we'll see on Amud Beis, regarding that a carbon has to be slaughtered for the sake of this carbon. If one sacrifices it for the purposes of a different carbon, which is not the one that it's being brought for, so that is an invalidation. The question is how much and to what effect does that invalidate a carbon? So the Gemara begins, Kal hazvachim shenisbuchu shalo lishma. The first Mishnah opens up, all the carbonis, which we're going to translate zvachim, although it means the things which are slaughtered, all the carbonis which are slaughtered, not for its sake. So if, let's say, they slaughter the carbon ayla with the intention of it being brought as a carbon shlamim, although it's really being brought as a carbon ayla, kisherim. So the carbon is going to be valid, meaning one could continue doing the processes regarding the carbon. To now that after the animal is slaughtered, there's four primary avodas. After slaughtering, then goes, they receive the blood, they throw the blood, which is the primary atonement. Then they sacrifice the sacrificial parts called the emurim. Then the certain parts of the carbon that are eaten. All these things are valid to be done to the carbon. Now, although there is a mitzvah to slaughter it, as Gemara will explain, for the purposes of this animal, for its namesake, but if it wasn't done that way, the carbon is going to be valid. Ella, however, but it will not be counted for the purposes of the obligations of the owner, meaning the one who is bringing the carbon will have to bring a different carbon for his obligation or for the vow that he took and then slaughter that animal for its namesake, for what it's being brought for. Now, as Rabbeinu Peretz points out, this, and as the words of Rashi indicate, this is specifically for a neder, which is that a person is obligated in this responsibility. But if it was what's known as a nedava, which someone is just donating, not that he's taking a vow that he's going to bring it, then if it's slaughtered shalai lishma, then he doesn't have to bring another one, because even if it gets lost, he wouldn't be responsible. Here too, it's not any less than that, and therefore one would not be responsible, but something that there is a responsibility, either because it's an obligation or because it's a neder, then it would be a kosher animal. One could do the processes, but it's not going to count towards his obligation, and to fulfill that, he'll have to bring another animal. Now, and that says the Mishnah, this that we describe the halacha of slaughtering an animal shalai lishma, applies to every carbon chutz min ha-pesach v'achatas, except for the carbon pesach and a sin offering, which when one slaughters them shalai lishma, it totally invalidates it, as the Gemara is going to learn that. And as the Mishnah explains, ha-pesach, this that we said that the carbon pesach is going to be invalid if it's slaughtered shalai lishma, is specifically bizmani, in the time of when it's allowed to be slaughtered, meaning from noon on Erev Pesach until the evening time is the time, only time that a person could slaughter Karban Pesach. But actually, if someone slaughters it, Shalai Lishma, either before that time or after that time, so that the Gemara tells us later on of Zayin Mabez, that actually the Karban Pesach and any other time of the year is actually considered like a Karban Shlamim. So therefore, it'll have all the halachic status as a Karban Shlamim, which on that, we just said before, that Shar Zvachim, which includes a Karban Shlamim, are Kesherin Shalai Lishma, that actually it is valid, and one could throw the blood and sacrifice the sacrificial parts and go ahead and eat it. Again, it's not going to be Olu Bailam Shem Chayva, but it's going to be kosher. And how? But however, regarding the Pesach Bizmanoi and Chatas in any Zman, as the Gemara is going to learn that out from Pesukim, there it's going to be totally invalid, and one cannot even throw the blood and be makter its emurim and eat its sacrificial parts. So now we said the Pesach is Bizmanoi, v'Chatas b'chozman, and the Karma Chatas, since it's not limited to a certain time like the Karban Pesach, which is only on the 14th of Nisan from noon until evening, there on the Karban Chatas, any time if one slaughters it, does any of the avodah shalai lishma, so that's going to totally invalidate it and nothing could be done with it. Now Rabbi Yezreim, he extends this halach and he says, afa asham, not just for a Karban Chatas, but also for a guilt offering, as the Mishnah is going to explain. HaPesach bezmanei, as we said, the Pesach, this halacha is unique to it only on its time of the 14th of Nisan. V'achatas v'ashem b'chozman, and Rabbi Yezer, like the Tanakama, but he adds on the chatas and the ashem on any day. Because Amr Rabbi Yezer explains why. It says, HaChatas ba'al chet, the sin offering comes for a sin that a person committed. V'ashem ba'al chet, and a guilt offering also comes for a certain sin. They're just different types of sins for different types of kabbanas. So he makes the following mamatzin, the comparison. He says, Ma'achatas pesulah shalei lishma, just like the Talmud Kama pointed out, that a sin offering is invalid if it's brought shalei lishma, nothing could be done with it. Ava asha pasul shalei lishma. So the same halacha would apply to the guilt offering, which are for certain unique kabbanas. Primarily we bring karmachatas, but there's certain ones that bring an asham are also going to be invalid if it's brought shalei lishma. Now, another opinion brings the Mishnah, Yaisi b'chayni aymer. He says, Hanish chatan, all other karbanas that are slaughtered, let's say on the 14th of Nisan, l'shem Pesach, where it's, let's say, a shlam. But when one is sacrificing it on noon, afternoon, on Erev Pesach, he's having in mind, the one who's slaughtering it, for the intention of it being a karban Pesach. Or, u'l'shem chatas, or he slaughters it at any time, a different karban, let's say, a shlamim, with the intention of it being a karban chatas. So then Rabbi Yisrael ben Chayni says, pesulim. Then those karbanas are also going to be totally invalid. Why? Just like a Pesach and a Chatas, that when they're slaughtered for other karbanas, they're pasul. So when you slaughter other karbanas for the purpose of a Pesach and Chatas, in the times of when Pesach and Chatas can be brought, are also going to be pasul. And the Gemara is going to learn that the reason for others with the intention of being a Pesach in the Braisa. Now, that the Mishnah continues with another opinion. Shimon Achi Azariah Omer. Shimon, the brother of Azariah, which is not usually used, is usually either someone by himself or the son of someone. Here the reason why it says his brother is because Azariah worked in business and he provided all the needs of his brother Shimon when his brother Shimon was toiling in Tyre. And they stipulated between the two of them that Azariah is going to have a portion of the reward of the learning of Shimon, as Gemara says in Masechta Saita, that according to Pasuk, if a person will give all the wealth of his house, he can't get the learning of someone else. Unlike Shimon Achi Azariah, because he didn't give it to him after he became a Talmid Rosh Galil, he gave it to him beforehand. Therefore, the learning of Shimon was called on his brother Azariah because he supported him, so therefore it quotes him as the brother of Azariah. He says, regarding the halacha of the Tanna Kamma, that if any carbon is slaughtered shalei lishma, it's going to be kosher, but not all about shalom chayva, he says it depends. He says, if shachdan, if all these other karbanas were slaughtered l'shem gevaya mehen, shalei lishma, not for its own carbon, but for a different type of a carbon. But it was for something that's a higher level than it. Then, kisherin, then it's going to be valid, as the Mishnah is going to explain. Now, the Gemara, actually, in the Yud Aleph Amud Beis, will explain this, that he says that it's going to be kosher. What does he mean, kosher? Does he mean that it's valid and that it's even going to be Allah Bayom Shem Chayva, that it will even fulfill the obligation of the one who's bringing the nether or the obligation of the obligatory carbon of his, and therefore he's disputing the Tanna Kamma on 2 points, because he's disputing him regarding the validity of if it's fulfilling the obligation of the host, and regarding that it depends if it's for a carbon higher or lower than it? Or does he mean no? When he says kisherin, he means that it's only that, like the wording of the Tanna Kamma, that it's kosher to be the blood to be thrown and for the imurim to be sacrificed and for the parts to be eaten, but v'loy alu, but it's not going to fulfill the obligation of the owner. And the only thing he's disputing the Tanna Kamma is that, do we differentiate between a carbon higher or lower than it? In the sense being stringent and saying that I agree to Tanna Kamma that it's going to be kosher only if it was something slaughtered for a higher level than it. But if it's something lower than it, then it's actually going to be pasul, similar to like a karban chatas and a karban pesach. So the Mishnah explains ketzad. What's this? So first the Mishnah continues and says, but l'shem namach man, but if it's slaughtered for an animal, type of a carbon that's a lower level than it, then pasul, and then it's going to be totally invalid. So explains the Mishnah ketzad, how so? Says the Mishnah, let's say kachim kachim sheshachton l'shem kachim kalm. There's different levels and havchanas and categories in the karbanis. There's the highest levels, chatas and oila, they're called the holies of holies. They have more severe halachas of sanctity. And then there's certain karbanas like a shlam, that's a lower level, that's called kachim kalm, the lighter kachim. So if one takes a kachim kachim and slaughters it for the purposes of kachim kalm, then it's going to be pasul. Psulim, it's going to be pasul, like if one slaughters a chatas to be, and having in mind that it's being for a shlam. Kachim kalim sheshachtim shem kachim kachim. Let's say if someone slaughters a lower level kachim, like a shlamim, for the purpose of slaughtering it as if he's having in mind that he's slaughtering a chatas, which is the higher level of sanctity, then kshayin, then it's going to be kasher. Another example, habachir v'hamaiser, a firstborn animal, or the what's known as maiser behema, which is the tenth of every year he has to take all the new animals that were born, and every tenth one bring that to Yerushalayim and eat it there, and bring it as a carbon. So these two types of karbanas are lower level than shlam, As the Gemara says later on, Perikol Tadon, the Petesim and Aleph, the reason for that is because Shlomim has more stringent requirements than the Bechor and Maisa Behema. For example, the Shlomim requires that its blood be put on four different parts of the Mizbeach, in contrast to Bechor and Maisa Behema, don't need that many. So too, it needs smicha for the owner to lean on it, it needs nesachim, certain libations, and also the tenufas chazav shayk to lift up the thigh and the breast part. So therefore, it's considered a more severe category. So by the Bukhara Meiser, Shashachnu L'Shem Shlamim, if we're slaughtered for the purpose of Shaloi L'Shma, but for something higher than it, which is a Shlamim, Ming Sharon, it's going to be kosher. But Shlam, Shashachnu L'Shem Bukhara, L'Shem Meiser, but if a Shlam was slaughtered with the intention of it being a firstborn type of a carbon, or a Meiser Behema one, that's lower, so then Psalm that's going to be invalid. Now the Gemara explains the Mishnah. The Gemara asks a technical question on the wording of the Mishnah. Lamali Lamisna, why does the Mishnah teach in its opening halacha when it says regarding all of the karbanos, besides the Pesach and the Chatas, it was slaughtered shaloi lishma, not for the sake of this carbon, it's really being brought as a carbon shlamim, instead someone has in mind a different type of a carbon, let's say an oila. So it's said that it's going to be kasher. Elo shaloi olu labam shabachavu, but it's not, so the Gemara asks, why does it say elo shaloi olu? However, it's just not going to be considered, which is a lengthy way of speaking. Listener should have just said v'loy olu b'am shemachav, and it's not going to be considered for the owner for his obligation, which is a more concise terminology. Because as the Gemara in the beginning of the Pesachim tells us, a person should always teach his students in a more abridged way so that it can be concise. Why the lengthy elo shaloy? Just say v'loy olu. That the Gemara says, no hakamash mlan, this that the Mishnah is coming to teach that it uses elo to say no, because only this point. Is it that it's losing, that it was done shalei lishma, just that it's not going to be considered for the obligation of the owner who's bringing it, that he's going to have to bring another carbon. But that it doesn't have any other deficiency because it was done shalei lishma, which teaches us, only in that area, for its owner, it's not going to be considered fulfilling his obligation. But the carbon retains its sanctity, which tells us that it's now, however, still forbidden to do any other deviation, in other words, to let they do any of the other services of the carbon, initially to do it shalei lishma. Now, however, as Rashi points out, if even one does the other avodah shalei lishma, it's still going to be kosher, but it's teaching us that, however, it still retains a sanctity, and just like there's always a mitzvah of doing it lishma, even if, let's say, the shechita was done shalei lishma, the other avodah, like this riga, still has to be done lishma. And that's what it says, Ella, only for this is it demoted, but for everything else, it retains a sanctity. Okay, the Rav, like Rav said, Rav said, Ayla sheshachta shalei lishma, a carbon ayla that was slaughtered, not for its namesake, also, lizard dama shalei lishma. So, although one of the avodas like the shechita was done shalei lishma, it's forbidden to do the sprinkling of the blood shalei lishma, not for its namesake. And that's why I use the longer terminology of ella. And the Gemara says that this halacha, like Rava says, ibayseim esvara. If you want, you could say it's based on logic. Ibayseim akra. If you want, you could say it's based on a pasuk, as the Gemara explains. Ibayseim esvara. If you want, you could say it's based on logic, because mishum deshani ba. Because since this person, the one who was doing the slaughtering, deviated one time in the carbon. So, kalhani lishani bavalezel, so you think he could continue making deviations and changes in the carbon? What makes you think he did one bad thing to do many more? One thing was done shalei lishma, but that doesn't give us an excuse to do the other thing shalei lishma. Or you buy same akra, if you want, you could say it's based on the pasuk. As the pasuk says in Devarim, it says, Maitzis sefasecha tishmer vasisa, the words that come out of your lips, you should safeguard and you should do. Kashin nedarta l'Hashem lekecha, like you took a vow to Hashem your God, nedava, to bring a donation, a carbon, begoymer, etc., which the pasuk tells is an obligation of a person to fulfill the words of his mouth, which he said he's going to bring a carbon, he has to fulfill that. Now that asks the Gemara, hai nedava? You're calling this carbon a nedava, a donation? But as you continue to mitbeis, nederhu, it's a vow, because the pasuk says, kasha nedarta. Now there's a fundamental difference between neder and nedava. A neder, and therefore that's why a person has a responsibility if anything happens to the carbon, is where he says, harei alai, I accept upon me to bring it. Nedava, donation, is harei zu, this is it. If anything happens to it, it gets lost, it's not his responsibility. This was the one that was designated. So the fundamentally difference, how could the pasuk use both terminologies for the same obligation? Ella rather explains the Gemara. What is the pasuk teaching us? Im kemosh nedarta asisa. If you go ahead and you do as you had taken a vow, meaning you do all the services of the carbon lishma for its sake, because that's what you had taken a vow to bring this carbon, which means you have to do it for the sake of this carbon. Then yehei neder. Then it will be considered like a vow, meaning it will fulfill the obligation of your neder. But vimlai, but if not, if you do it shaloi lishma, nidav yehe, then it's going to be considered a donated carbon, meaning as if you made a different nidava, not for the fulfillment of your original initial obligation, like we said, because if you do shaloi lishma, it has not fulfilled your obligation. But rather, it's like a nidava, unrelated to your nether. Now, that proves the Gemara of a nedava, but since the Torah is calling it a nedava, so it's something separate, but it's still considered a nedava. Mishar l'shenuyaba, do you think it's permitted to make a deviation in a carbon that's being brought as a nedava? But the Gemara tells in the second paragraph, Chatas HaMabez, that it's forbidden to have any forbidden thoughts by a kachem, by a carbon, which is learned out from a pasuk of lo yichashiv. So therefore, this is how the Gemara is reading the pasuk. If Moitzes of Asecha Tishma Vasisa, if you're going to fulfill and do as you had said from your mouth, meaning as a neder, then your neder is going to be Asher Nedar, to which you had taken a vow, which means to say it's going to be considered halach of a neder and fulfilling that obligation. But if not, it's going to be considered a nedava, which is like something totally unrelated and not fulfilling your neder, but it's still a nedava. And since it's still a nedava, one cannot make any other deviations, even in the later Zrika, still has to be brought Lishma. Continuing on this halacha of our Mishnah regarding this idea of shaloi lishma, so Amali Ravina Rav Papa. Ravina said to Rav Papa, "Lo havis gaban beurta. You weren't with us yesterday." And in other words, what a loss that you weren't with us yesterday on Shabbos bitchuma in the 2,000 amma boundary that a person could walk on Shabbos, that you would have been able to come to us to the study hall and to hear becharmach in our place becharmach. Because the Rami Rava Mila Mal Yasado, the Bishanul, you missed out. Rava posed contradictions that were very good, and he answered them and he resolved them. So now he asked him, "My Mila Mal Yasa, what were these great teachings that I missed out on?" So he said, "Tanan, our Mishnah said, Kolas Vacham Shenizbuchu Shaloi Lishman Bechulu. Any carbon that's slaughtered Shaloi Lishman, not for its namesake." So the Mishnah said, unless if it's a chatas or a pesach, it's going to be kosher, but v'loy olu ba'am shem chayva. It's valid. The carbon can be continued to have all its components done, but it just doesn't fulfill the obligation of the owner who had an obligation to bring that carbon. He's going to have to bring a new one. Now, on that, the inference is taima de shaloi lishman. The reason is because it was slaughtered not for its namesake, meaning it sounds like because he deliberately went and had a mind not for this carbon, let's say ishlamim, but rather for it to be an oila. Now, the inference is hastama, but let's say he did it without any thought process. He didn't think that, let's say, the shlama should be a shlama, but neither did he have in mind that it should be an oila. He just did it without any specific thought. It would sound like alu nami l'bayl l'shem chayva, that it would even then fulfill the obligation of the owner, because it's only if you did it shaloi lishma, you had in mind a different one, that would be problematic. But if you had no thought, then it would be kosher, and it would fulfill the obligation of the owner. Now, alma stam nami k'lishman dami, so we see that obviously doing it stam, with just no other thought, just default, is also considered like it's being done for its namesake. On that, he asked for a minyan, but that seems to be contradicted from a Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, with another halacha that also requires lishma. The Mishnah tells us, "Kala get shenichtav shaloi l'shem isha," any divorce document that was not written specifically for this woman. Let's say it was written for a different woman who has the same name as this woman. Both husband and wife have the same names, and it was written for a different woman, not for this one that he wants to divorce. So the Mishnah says, "Pasul." So that get, that divorce document is going to be invalid for this husband to use for his wife, because the pasuk says, v'chas of la sefer kris, he has to write for her a divorce document, which means lishma for her name has to be written for her, not that it just happens to have her name. And yet we know the halach is v'stama nami pasul, that even if it was done without any specific intention, it's still going to be pasul. Like for example, if let's say the scribe, sometimes it could get busy, and he wants to be prepared to have. So let's say he writes not for a different Leah. He writes just a generic name Leah. And he writes a name for the husband Shimon. That some common names that if it should ever happen that a Shimon and a Leah come, he'll have it ready. He'll give it to them right away. That there the halacha is that even that's going to be pasul. Which actually later on the Gemara is going to explain how does he see from the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin that if even if it's done without any specific intention for anyone else, what's called shaloi lishma behedya, just does it without any specific intention, that's going to be pasul. But that's what the assumption is, and therefore we see a contradiction. In our Mishnah, it seems to indicate that only if you do it shaloi lishma for something else is a pasul. But if one does it without any specific intention, it's going to be considered lishma. Yet in Masechtas Gittin, regards to halachas of divorce documents, it seems to be that stamen is shaloi lishma, that stamen is going to be pasul. How do we resolve that contradiction? And Bishani and Rava himself, who had posed the contradiction, he answered that there's a fundamental difference. Svachim bistam In general, regarding a carbon, lishman imdin, it's standing to be brought as it normally is. Its default position is to be brought for its namesake, because generally that's what the kayanim do. Whoever's doing it does it for the sake of what's being brought. So therefore, as long as it was not specifically, explicitly undone by having in mind a different carbon, it will be considered lishma. In contrast, isha bistama lavli gerishon imedis, a woman is not her default to be ready to be divorced, and therefore, if it has to be considered lishma, it has to be specifically, explicitly written for her namesake. And if one just writes a generic leia, that's not going to be considered that it's ready for any one woman, because that's not the default position of a woman to be in a state of being ready for divorce. So that was Rava's resolution. Now the Gemara asks, v'zvachim b'stama kasherin minolan. Where does Rava know from our Mishnah that he asks his question in regards to the contradiction that he said, oh, by Gittin we see stama is not lishma. Yet in our Mishnah regarding karbanas, we see that stama is kasher. Where does he know that from? As the Gemara explains, if you would think, as we had assumed, that it would be from what we said in our Mishnah said, any carbon that's slaughtered not for its namesake, which sounds like that it's specifically uprooting its name from it, that's when it's not going to be fulfilling the obligation of the owner. No. And v'loiketani, and our Mishnah does not say, shaloi nizbechu lishman, that it was not slaughtered for its namesake, which would sound like that it wasn't done specifically for its carbon, which would be stama. So it sounds like, yeah, that's why it doesn't say that, because it's actually kosher in that situation, meaning it's going to be alabai mashem chayva. It's only when it's done shaloi lishman, but not when it wasn't done lishman. That is the Gemara, but you can't say that's the diuk. Because gabi get nami hukatani. Even by the laws of get, the Mishnah there says, kala get shenichtiv shaloi l'shem isha. Any get, any divorce document that's not written for this woman, which sounds like that if it was written explicitly for another woman, then pasul, it's going to be pasul. But like katani, and the Mishnah there doesn't say shaloi nichtiv l'shem isha pasul, that it wasn't written for this woman, then it's going to be pasul. It only says and makes it sound like if it was written for a different woman. Yet we know that, as we said before, that by get, even stama is going to be pasul. So how can we make the diuk? That same diuk can be made by get, which we see obviously is not a proper diuk. So how do we know from our Mishnah that stama would be kasher lishma? Ella rather says, the Gemara, you're right. Mahaditnan. We know it from a different Mishnah. Mishnah later on, Dafid Gimla ben Alf. The Mishnah there is talking about, ketzad lishman vishaloi lishman. How is a case regarding the invalidation, as we said in the Mishnah regarding Pesach and Chatas, that we said that the carbon is totally pasul, not just not fulfilling the obligation, but it's not going to be kosher at all if it's done shaloi lishma. So the Mishnah there says, even if it's not done totally shaloi lishma, even if it's done for its namesake, and also for its not its namesake, where it's actually both, then even that, since it wasn't totally lishma, is going to be pasul. How is a case of lishma and shaloi lishma? So the Mishnah says, if let's say it was done l'shem Pesach, u l'shem shlamim, and also he thought that it should be not just for a Pesach, but also to be fulfilling obligation as a shlamim, so it's being done partly for lishma, but also partly shaloi lishma, that's also going to be pasul totally for the carbon of Pesach. Now, the Gemara makes the following inference. Time of the Amal l'shem Pesach u l'shem shlamim. When is it going to be pasul? If he had a mind for a Pesach and for it to be a shlamim. Halishim Pesach v'stama, but let's say he had in mind that it should be Pesach, and part of his thought, he had no thought, just let it be whatever it is going to be, and he did not think afterwards that it should be l'shem shlam. Sounds like then kasher, then it'd be kasher, because only if he had in mind for something else like a shlamim. But if he had nothing in mind, even though at the end of the shechita he just slaughtered it without any intention, then it'd be kasher. Alma staman kilishman dami, so you see that no thought at all would be considered like it was being done lishman, because if it would be like shaloi lishma, then it would be as if he said it should be l'shem Pesach or l'shem shlamim, and then that would be pasul. So then why say l'shem shlamim, even stama would be pasul? Obviously, because stama is going to be kasher, because stama is kilishman by karbanis. And that's what the Gemara knows, no raya from there, because dimashani hasa, maybe the halacha of that Mishnah is different over there, because the Amar, the Tana of that Mishnah says, kala isa, whoever does an act, in this case, the slaughtering of the carbon Pesach, adas rishayin hu isa. He does it continuing on what he was starting off doing that activity, which was, he started off doing l'shem Pesach. So, if he does the end l'shem shlamim, so then it's explicitly coming to exclude what he started doing. But if he has no thought, he's just having in mind, let it be whatever I had initially started doing, which was l'shem Pesach. But let's say if he would have slaughtered the whole thing stama without any thought, then I would tell you that maybe that would be possible. So there's no raya from there. So Ella rather says the Gemara Misefa. Rather, we could prove it from the end of that Mishnah. The Mishnah says the opposite case. What's the case of Shaloi Lishman Ulishman? First case was, how could we have both Lishma and Shaloi Lishman, but first Lishma and then Shaloi Lishma? Then the Sefer says, how would you have the invalidation of Pesach and Chatas by having it first not for its namesake, and then for its namesake? So then the Mishnah said, L'shem Shlam, L'shem Pesach. If it's being done first, he starts off slaughtering, let it be Shlam, and he's like, hey, wait a second, it's not a Shlam, and he starts the ending, he does L'shem Pesach. That's going to be possible because, again, it wasn't totally Lishma. Now the inference is, Taima da'ama L'shem Shlam, L'shem Pesach. It's because he said for something specifically not what it is, which was Shlam and then Shem Pesach. Hastamo L'shem Pesach, but let's say he started off slaughtering without any thought. And then at the end, he has in mind, oh, you let it, it's a carbon Pesach, let me have that in mind. Sounds like kasher would be kasher, and it would not be possible because of what he initially started doing. Obviously, because stama is kelishman. And here you can't say because what he had started, he's continuing, because the beginning was stama. And you see that it would be kasher. So the Gemara, no, dim l'shami hafsa, maybe even there it would be different, and not a raya, because the Amr the Tana says, yechich soifi al tchilasai. The end proves the beginning. Since the end, he's doing a L'shem Pesach, that reflects, that must be that what he started doing, even though he had no intention, was for what he ended up doing, which L'shem Pesach. But I could tell you, if he had no intention whatsoever throughout the whole Shechita, then maybe we would say Staman is not Lishman, and maybe would be possible. So how does Rabbi know to ask his contradiction, which he resolved, but how does he know this idea that Staman is going to be Lishman? Inami, or also another reason why that it wouldn't be a Raya is because truthfully I would tell you, you cannot even make the Diyuk that if it was Stama and L'shem Pesach, it'd be kasher. The Diyuk seemed to have been said was, yeah, L'shem Shlam, L'shem Pesach is possible. It sounds like if it was not for something else, but just Stama and Pesach would be kasher. And that says the Gemara for the second approach, is that truthfully I would tell you that it would be possible. Because maybe Stama is like Shaloi L'shmai. So why did it say L'shem Shlam? Say a bigger chiddush, say even Stama and L'shem Pesach is possible. So that says the Gemara, another approach is because I did the Tana Lishman for Shaloi Lishman. It's only because the Reisha had said a case of when it was done for its namesake and for not its namesake, where it was done L'shem Shlamim. There, as we just answered before, there had to say specifically that the second part was L'shem Shlamim, because actually if it would have been done Stama, then actually it would be Kasher, because then we said it would be Aldas Rishayin Hawaii, so it would be continuing, although now he's not having Kavan, it would be based on what he initially started off doing. So since the Reisha has to be Lishman v'Shaloi Lishman, so Tani Nami Shaloi Lishman u'Lishman. So therefore the Sefer also says the corollary of that, which is if it was done not for its namesake and for its namesake, meaning L'shem Shlam L'shem Pesach. But really I could tell you that it's not specifically that way. And the same halacha would be, even if it was Stama and L'shem Pesach, that it would be possible in the slaughtering of, because when it started off it wasn't being done L'shem Pesach, maybe Stama would be Shaloi Lishman. So Ella rather says the Gemara, Maha. The proof for the idea that Rabbi knew that Stamman is Lashman B'Savachim is from a Mishnah later on, of Mevav Amid Beis, which is a Mishnah in Perek B'Shamay, which all these halachas are learned from Pesukim. But the Mishnah tells us, L'shem Shishu Dvarim HaZevach Nizbach. For six intentions, a carbon has to be slaughtered. L'shem Zevach, first what we've been calling Lashma, means it has to be slaughtered for this carbon, for what it was sanctified for, not for a different type of carbon. Second of all, L'shem Zeveach, for the one who's slaughtering it, meaning that the owner who's bringing it should be atoned, and not that it should be an atonement for someone else, which is a different invalidation we'll be speaking about, which is not just Shaloi Lishma, but what's called Shaloi L'shem Balam. It has to be slaughtered for the intention of the owner who's bringing it. Third of all, L'shem, and the gear says Hashem, it has to be that it's being slaughtered for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who he's the one who said and created the world, that's who it's being brought for. Fourth of all, L'shem Ishim, that it should be totally burnt on the Mizbeach, and not that it should just be roasted on the Mizbeach, but rather that it should be totally sacrificed on the fires. And L'shem Reach, and that it should be for an aroma, meaning that's coming to exclude, let's say, if someone first went and took the limbs and he roasted it and then put on the fires, where then it wouldn't have a smell and aroma anymore, as the Gemara over there explains, it has to be specifically, it's being slaughtered for that, it's going to be have an aroma, it's going to be the first thing being brought on the fires. And L'shem Nichayach, that it's giving a nachas ruach, a pleasing spirit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who he said and his desire was fulfilled, that he says to bring karbanos, and we do it. That's the sixth thought that the person who's doing the avodah has to have in mind. Now, more of vachatas v'ashem regarding a sin offering and the guilt offering, another intention has to be l'shem chet, that's being brought for the sin that the person had done. Now, On these six, seven halachas, Rabbi Yisi says, Af mishlo hayu b'libo l'shem achas mikol elu, even someone who did not have an intention, any one of these things that we said, that he didn't have in mind that it should be lishma. Rather, he just brought the carbon stam, without any specific intentions. It didn't mention any of these six things. So it's basically kasha, it's going to be valid. Why? Shetznai besenhu, because it's a stipulation of the court, what? That it should be slaughtered stam. And that the one who's slaughtering it should not mention that it's being done l'shem this carbon, as the Gemara explains. Asnu besen, the court stipulated, delay lema l'shmai, a person should not say he's slaughtering for the sake of this carbon, because dilma si lamei mashalai l'shmai, because then he might come, if that's what he's thinking, he might actually come to say that it's not for its namesake, because he might make a mistake, he might come to make an error, he might come to do something wrong. So therefore, better don't say anything, and anyways, you'll have in mind stama, which will work, which the Gemara proves. Now, if you would entertain to say that if a carbon is brought without the specific intention of lishma, that it's actually invalid, so you think that court would come along and institute and stipulate something that would actually invalidate the carbon? Rather, this was the proof of Rava that obviously staman is lishman by svachim, which that was his reason for asking by gittin that you see staman is shalal lishman, is and therefore it's going to be puzzle. And that seems to be a contradiction. That's what he answered, that the default of them are different, and therefore, by stama of zvachim is oimit to be lishma, in contrast, by gittin, it's not a woman's not oimit legerishin, and therefore it's going to be pasal. Which takes us to the second element, which is also regarding his contradiction. So we proved how we knew that staman by zvachim is lishman. And that, as the Gemara Begabi get, regarding the divorce document, the stama pasal, that when it's done without any specific intention, for a generic layer, it doesn't have in mind a different layer, any layer, that it's going to be pasal for this specific layer. Minolan, where do we know this from? In other words, how did Rava see from Mishnayos Masechet Nisgidin that it's going to be pasal that he asked to pose his contradiction? Says the Gemara, Ilei Memohad Etnan, if you would think from that it's from the following Mishnah Masechet Nisgidin that says, Hayayivir Beshuk, if a man who's looking to divorce his wife was walking by the marketplace, the Shama Sefer Makman, he heard scribes calling out to the students that they were teaching them how to write the text of divorce documents, and the students are writing, Ish Plaini Girish Plaini Smimokim Plaini. This man, they said a name, divorced that woman, they said a name, from that place. V'amran, this man said, incredible, Zeshmi V'zeshem Ishti. This is my name and my wife's name, and this is where we live. So he says, great, let me just use this text that you guys had written. And that says the Mishnah Apostle Agarishbay. It's invalid to divorce with it. So you see that here you have a case of stama. It wasn't written for any other type of woman. And it's pasal lagarishboy. So you see stama nishalei lishman, that it's going to be pasal. That says the Gemara, no, because dima kadra papa. Maybe the halacha, the reason why it's pasal is like rab papa. Because amra papa, he says, hacha over here, the reason why it's pasal is different. Because b'seifrim hasuin lislamaraskin. What we're talking about over here was scribes who are using this text to just teach to the students. And it wasn't written for the purposes of divorce at all. But if, let's say, a scribe who wants to be prepared and have divorce documents to use for creases, that if, let's say, a man who has that name and a woman who has that name and is from this place, that actually then, since it's being written for creases, then actually maybe I would tell you that would be kosher, and therefore that's not a raya, how we know that even stama is going to be pasal, and therefore the Gemara continues on the next daf to try to find the source for Rava, how he knew that staman is going to be shalei lishman and pasal bekitten, for the reason of his asking his contradiction between it and the halachas of zvachim.